Today is taken out of the prophetical book of Jeremiah. We will begin with the first chapter of Jeremiah, where we read that Jeremiah was a son of Hilkiah the priest from the city of Anatoth. This city was where the priest lived, and this was where this young man likewise lived with his father. We find that this young man, Jeremiah, he prophesied during the reign of Josiah of Jehoiakim, and likewise of all the wicked kings that followed, until the 11th year of the reign of Zedekiah in the fifth month, when Jerusalem was carried away captive. This prophet, he prophesied somewheres in the neighborhood of over 50 years. He was young when he began to prophesy, and he continued with the people all this while until Jerusalem was carried away to the land of Babylon. This young man then, he began to speak, and then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before that I had formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I have sanctified thee and ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. We find him speaking thus himself. God made known unto him that from all eternity he knew him, he loved him, he was one of God's children. Before he had been formed in the belly, the Lord knew him. We have here the divine doctrine of predestination. What a wonderful doctrine this is, my hearers. Have you ever been led to believe that God knew you from all eternity? That before you ever came into this world, he had thoughts of love, thoughts of mercy, thoughts of peace towards you? What a blessing. If ever God reveals this in your heart in this life, what a comfort to know that God knows you. He knows every one of us, my hearers. Each individual that is before me, God knows. But whether God knows you as he knew Jeremiah, or whether he loves you as he loved him, is a question that you should seek an answer for by him who is able to give it to you. And not only was he loved, not only was he elected and predestinated to unto eternal life, but he also was separated. Before he even came from the womb, God had a purpose for this man in this life. He was separated, he was sanctified and ordained to be a prophet unto the nations. And God then brought this man forth for this purpose. His life was to be for God. He was to be a servant of God. He was to be a prophet. What a wonderful thing it is, my hearers, when God chooses a man to be as Jeremiah was. This man, Jeremiah, he commenced when he was very young to prophesy. And he continued, as I said, somewheres in the neighborhood of 50 years. All through the reign of Josiah. Josiah, he reigned 31 years. And it was in the 13th year of his reign that Jeremiah began to prophesy. And he prophesied through all the other reigns of the kings that followed him until the carrying away of Jerusalem. Some reckon it was over 50 years that he prophesied amongst the people. And this man, Jeremiah, he was a reproving prophet. He was sent to declare Jacob their sins and Israel their judgments. He had to reprove these people continually about their lives and about what they did. How that they served other gods and worshipped idols and burned incense unto idols upon the roofs of their houses. He then was commissioned by God to proclaim their iniquities and to declare what would come upon them for them. Not only was he a reproving prophet, but he likewise was a weeping prophet. Not because he penned lamentations, no, but this man Jeremiah, he was a spectator of all the things that took place in the city of Jerusalem. He's seen these people degenerating and going away from God. And he was of a mournful and of a sorrowful countenance. He wept many times because of the sins of these people that he loved. And he was the person that predicted what would come upon them, and he likewise saw his predictions fulfilled. Therefore he wept many times, my hearers. Not only was he a weeping prophet, but he also was a suffering prophet. He was persecuted more than any prophet that had appeared before him or after him. How they treated this man, Jeremiah, you may read throughout his prophecies. They put him in prison. They put him in the stocks. They mocked him. They jeered at him. They hated him. They despised him. And finally, after they had been carried away captive, the remaining Jews forced him to go along with them into the land of Egypt. And there he continued to prophesy amongst them, and they became so angry with his prophecies, so enraged, that they finally rose up and stoned him to death. This was the end of this prophet of whom we ought to speak this afternoon. We find in the beginning of this chapter that he complained to God immediately and said, Lord, I don't know how to speak. I am but a child. He realized something of the responsibility of the office of being a prophet. He seen in the future already what he would encounter in this work, and therefore he came with the excuse that he could not speak, that he was a child. Whether he was a child now or not, that's a question. You often read this in the scriptures, I am a child. But some think he was no more child when God called him to this work, although he was young. And the Lord said unto him, say not, I am a child, for I will be with thee, and thou shalt go forth and speak what I shall command thee. And the Lord came and with his hand touched his mouth. And he said, I have placed my words in thy mouth. And he said unto him, be not afraid of their faces, but speak as I do command thee to do. We find here that he came with an excuse not to be a prophet. He felt his insufficiency. He felt himself to be like a child. He felt how ignorant he was and incapable of performing an office as God required of him and called him to. He was like Moses of old, if you remember. And Moses likewise refused to go when God called him. Moses said, I am not eloquent, I am slow of speech. The Lord said unto Moses, who has made man's mouth? Who has made the dumb? Who has made the blind to see? Have not I the Lord? So he comes to Jeremiah and says, speak not that I am but a child. And God touched his mouth. Oh, what a wonderful thing this was, my hearers. Here was a man separated from the womb to be a prophet unto the law, unto the nations. And now God separates his tongue, his mouth. God comes and puts his hand on his mouth and puts his words in his mouth. Oh, he had no tongue anymore, my hearers, to speak about worldly matters. But God used his tongue. When he spake, it was as God spake. He was then to speak to the people as God gave him to speak. Oh, what a mercy when God uses our tongue. For this purpose, whether it be to reprove people for their sins, or whether it be to comfort them and to encourage them, we find much in the prophecy of Jeremiah that he had to warn and admonish and speak to the people about their sins. But likewise, he spake of what would take place after they had been carried away captive for so many years, and they would likewise be given to come back, and they would again be built up, and they would again live in the city of Jerusalem. We find then God using this man's mouth to speak his word. And now he says to him, be not afraid of their faces. Oh, the Lord knew that these people wouldn't accept what Jeremiah was going to say. He knew that they would be angry with him. He knew that they would make angry faces at him and rebel against him. And they would jeer at him and mock him. He knew what was before him, and therefore he spake unto him, be not afraid of their faces. Now this teaches us likewise, my hearers, how we as human beings are afraid to speak the truth, afraid to come out for the cause of God, afraid to warn each other against sin, against the ruin that we see people are going to, rather than speak to them, because we know they're going to be angry with us, they're going to make faces at us, we keep quiet. We are silent. And because we are silent, my hearers, then we have a guilty conscience. And we find no access by God. We find no nearness to God. If we may speak faithfully, truthfully, uprightly, sincerely, and honestly, and warn sinners to turn from their ways, regardless of how they may treat us and how they may act towards us, you will find God on your side. You will find God being with you and witnessing with you in your conscience. And all to have peace of conscience and to have God with us is worth more than anything in this life. And Jeremiah was told then that he shouldn't be afraid of their faces. And God said unto him that he would likewise be a person who he would use. He would speak to the people in God's name, and what he spake would do certain things. For the words that he spake were not his own words, but were the words of the living God, and God would use him to root up and to pluck out and to break down and to destroy, but likewise to plant and to heal. God then set this man as an iron pillar and as brazen walls. Oh, he was fearless and boldness in the power and in the strength of the God that called him. And he spake as the Lord gave him to speak. And we find that what he spake was rejected, was not received. All this man, he labored amongst these people for so many years, and he was treated so terribly at times. It's impossible for me, with my short memory, to quote everything that we find in this prophecy of Jeremiah. But I will give you a few things that we find in this prophecy. We find this man, Jeremiah, called by God at one time to go down to the valley of Hinnom, a place called Tophet. And he told him to take with him a potter's vessel. And now most of the time when these prophets went, they knew not what they were going to say. They couldn't study a book. They couldn't read something like I do to give you a little information. No, they went to this place and God put the words in their mouth and they spake when they were right there. They spake as God gave them to speak. They never knew before time what God was going to give them to speak. And when he came there, he began to speak unto the people that were there. He said, this place called Tophet, the Valley of Hinnom, he says, will no more be called this, but it will be called the Valley of Slaughter. For he says, there will be no place to bury the people that will be killed here, because the people will be slain and will be struck down by the sword. He prophesied then that in that particular place where they had built an altar to Baal, had offered incense unto him, and likewise had burned their sons and daughters unto Molech, that place God was going to fill with the dead bodies of the Jewish people, and that there wouldn't be any room anymore to bury them. So many would be slaughtered there. The commentary says that it was in this particular place where the Chaldean army defeated the Jewish army, and that's where so many of them were slain by the sword. And he broke this vessel in the front of all the people, quoting that as this vessel was broken into pieces, so their nation would be broken into pieces and would be scattered all over. And when he came back from this place, he prophesied this in the court of the king. And there was a certain man by the name of Pashur, who likewise was a prophet, but a lying prophet. When he heard Jeremiah prophesied this way, he took him prisoner and he put him in the stocks. He set him at the entry of the gate where the people went through the gate into the temple. He put him in the stocks. The stocks were made out of wood. There was a place for the person's neck, there was a place for his hands, and a place for his feet. And so he sat at the entering of this gate. What an awful treatment this prophet had experienced. So many of the faithful prophets of God had to suffer in this respect. We do not read that he became angry or that he fought against this prophet and refused to submit to him, but he willingly gave himself over to do that. And now the next day, this same pastor, he came and he released him out of the stocks. And then he had a word of the Lord for this man. He spake unto him in the name of the Lord that his name would not be Pashur anymore, but it would be called Magor Missabib. Oh, God would visit him and his friends for doing what he had done unto Jeremiah and for prophesying lies. He would be taken prisoner and he would die in Babylon. And now we find in the next chapter, chapter 20, that this same prophet, he became so discouraged. He says, they do nothing else but jeer and mock me. So he says, I won't speak anymore in his name. He wanted to lay down the work. He didn't want to go on any longer. He wasn't going to speak anymore in his name. You can understand that, can't you, my hearers? If you were in his place and everybody was opposing you and everybody angry with you and everybody spitting fire at you, you don't need much today to make you quit a job. And so he wanted to lay down the work too. He wanted to give it up. But the word of the Lord was in this man. He couldn't give it up. The Lord appeared unto him as a terrible one, and his word became like fire in his bones. And he says, I'm weary with forbearing. So he had to speak. He had to go forward and warn the people in God's name. And then we find him again so discouraged that he cursed the day of his birth. Oh, how far did this man sink in his despondency? So cast down he was that he wished that he had never been born. And now we find likewise that this man, he was prophesying to the people. And when he prophesied to the people, he prophesied that they should submit unto the Chaldeans. It was in the ninth year of Zedekiah that the Chaldean army, with the head of Nebuchadnezzar, surrounded the city of Jerusalem. He besieged it until the 11th year. 2 years they were besieged by this Chaldean army. Nobody could go in or out of the city. At one time, they had sent somebody to Egypt and asked the king of Egypt to come and help them. And the king of Egypt went out with his army, and the Chaldeans, they departed from Jerusalem to fight against the Egyptians. And when they did this, the people thought that the Chaldeans would be defeated and that they would be delivered, the Jewish people. But Jeremiah had to prophesy to them and said, do not think that because the Chaldeans are departed, that you will be freed. No, if there were only wounded men left in the Chaldean army, yet the Lord says that they will enter into this city and they will burn it with fire. All people, he says, give yourselves over unto the Chaldeans. For if you give yourselves over to them, you shall live and your life shall be for a prey. But if you do not give yourselves over, you most certainly shall be slain with the sword, and you shall die in this city. Did they listen to this man? They wouldn't be obedient unto him. And as he spake in this way, many of the princes who were with Zedekiah, they said, this man is not for us. He weakens the hands of the men of war. This man is against us. So they went to the king and said to the king, O king, this man, he prophesies that the people shall be destroyed, and he makes these people weak. They don't want to fight anymore. Let us take this man and let us do with him as we want to do. And the king, he consented and gave them Jeremiah and said, the king is not one that will do anything against what you want to do. Oh, this king Zedekiah, he knew that Jeremiah was a prophet of the Lord. He knew that he spake the truth. But because these princes prevailed with their anger and animosity against this man, he gave Jeremiah over into their hands. And now they took Jeremiah and they put him in the dungeon, in the court, in the prison of a certain man's house. And they led him down with cords into this dungeon, into a hole in the ground. There was no water in the hole, but there was mire, muck, and mud. And Jeremiah sank in the mud. There were two prisons in the city of Jerusalem. One was used for prisoners of state. The other one was used for people that committed inferior offenses. This prison was in the court, right near the palace. And here in this court, they had this dungeon, and here Jeremiah was put in the dungeon. They did this with that purpose that he would die there, die of hunger, die a miserable death. They didn't care what happened to this prophet. He would die in obscurity. They were afraid to kill him on the top of the ground, for fear that if they slew him, he would say something to the people, and by what he would speak, they would be proved that they were the ones that were the cause of him being put to death. This teaches us how many faithful witnesses of God have died in obscurity and in prisons, have been starved to death, who nobody ever heard anything of anymore. But there's a day coming, O my hearers, when the blood of these faithful witnesses will be brought forth, and God will punish those that committed these crimes. And now we have Jeremiah down in this dungeon. And lo and behold, that we have this great God in heaven above who had said to him, I will be with thee. I will protect thee. They will not prevail against thee. They will fight against thee, but they will not prevail. This God, he has somebody at the court. He has a man by the name of Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian, mind you. The commentary says he was a colored man. He had been a slave to King Zedekiah, and because of his honesty and integrity, he had been raised to this position that he was a courtier. He was well liked by the king. And now when he was told that they had put Jeremiah down in the dungeon, oh, this man, he felt so sorry for Jeremiah. He had such love to this prophet that he went boldly to the king. The king sat at the gate, and he was giving judgment in cases, and he feared not. He lived in the king's house, but he went boldly to the king and spake to the king and said, they have done evil in the way they have treated Jeremiah. in putting him down into this dungeon, for he is likely to die, for there is no more bread in the city. He spake to the king in this way, why put him down in the dungeon to die? There ain't any more bread in the city anyway, he'll die just the same. Why put him in a hole like that? So the king, he said, take 30 men and bring him up out of the dungeon. And Ebed-Melech, he left the king and he went and got 30 men. He went and got old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and he went to this dungeon. And he let down these rags and these cast clouts into the hole, and he told Jeremiah to put them under his armholes and then put the cords under it, and then they would draw him up. He took such good care of them, didn't he? Huh? He thought, surely you put ropes underneath your arms, they'll cut your arms. He even thought of that. And this is the way that they brought Jeremiah up out of the dungeon. See the kindness of this Ethiopian, this Cushite, this Negro towards Jeremiah. Oh, it was the goodness of God over Jeremiah that he wrought in the heart of this Ethiopian in this way. And God remembered him, what he had done for Jeremiah. For he had a special word by the mouth of Jeremiah to this Ethiopian, that when the Chaldean army would come into the city of Jerusalem, he should not fear them, for God would take care of him. They would not do him any harm. And now we find this man, Jeremiah, he's prophesying to this king, Zedekiah. As Zedekiah calls him to the entry of the temple, in the third court it says, and he begins to inquire if there's any word of the Lord for him and for his people. And Jeremiah, he speaks to him and says, now if I tell you, he says, won't you put me to death? He didn't trust this king. He knew it was the king that had caused him to be put down in the dungeon. And therefore he didn't trust him. He as much as said, if I speak to you now, surely you'll take me and you'll kill me for it. No, he says, as your soul and as my soul liveth, I will not put thee to death. Oh, he took an oath on his own soul that he wouldn't do anything wrong to Jeremiah if he would speak to him. And then we find Jeremiah faithfully speaking to this king and saying unto him, give yourself over unto the king of the Chaldeans, and you shall live, and your children shall live, and your princes shall live, and the city will be spared, and the temple will be spared. Oh, he pleaded so with this king, that he would give himself over and be a prisoner unto the Chaldean king. But this man Zedekiah, he would not listen to Jeremiah. He hardened his heart. Oh, what an awful judgment, my hearers, is a hard heart. Pharaoh of old, he hardened his heart, and what ended with it? He was drowned in the Red Sea. And my hearers, have you got a hard heart? How often has not God's messengers come to you, reproved you for your sins, pleaded with you to return to the Lord and break off with your sins? And what have you done with the messages? Have you listened? Have you attempted to put it into exercise? Or have you cast their messages to the wind, just like this Zedekiah did in his people? Zedekiah, he was afraid that the Jews who had already went over to the Chaldeans would mock him, would jeer at him, and say, what, you become weak too and came over with us? Wouldn't it have been better for this king had he submitted and given himself over? He would have been the instrument that had spared the city of Jerusalem, had spared the temple and all these beautiful houses that these princes dwelt in. But no, he was the direct cause that the judgments of God came down upon the city. And now Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. He remained there until, we find, in the fifth month, on the 10th day of the month, we find this Babylonian army entering into the city of Jerusalem. This city was broken up. And they were starved. There wasn't anything more to eat. And they sat down in the middle gate, it says. And now when these people, the king and his princes, seeing this army in the middle gate, then they decided it was high time that they flee. And we find this Zedekiah, he flees by night out of a private gate that he had in his own garden. And he thought to escape that way. He disguised himself and he fled. But the Chaldean army pursued after him and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. And they took him prisoner, and they brought him back to Hamath in Riblah, and brought him before King Nebuchadnezzar, who gave charge over him. Oh, what this Zedekiah had to see. 32 years old he was, and the Lord was visiting him for his obstinacy, for his hardness of heart, and for his many sins. This king caused his sons, his children, to be slain before his eyes. Oh, what a horrible sight that must have been, my hearers, for this young king Zedekiah, 32 years old, to see his children killed in the front of his eyes. And then this king Nebuchadnezzar took this king Zedekiah and put his eyes out. You know, Samson, he had his eyes put out too. Oh, they used awful barbarities, my hearers, in those days when they took people prisoners. Oh, then this king, he was carried prisoner in chains to Babylon, where he died there. Now, this was the end of Zedekiah. And now these people, the Chaldeans, they entered into the city, and they took everybody that was in the city prisoner, and they took away thousands and thousands of Jewish people captives. And when they did this, my hearers, the commentary says they treated these captives something awful. They would strip them of all their clothes. They would shave their heads, shave the hair off their heads, and they would have to walk in the front of the army that had triumphed over them. And they would let this burning sun come down on their naked bodies and on their shaved heads. And so they had a march before them that had taken them prisoner. These people used some awful things to punish the captives that they had taken. And these Jewish people were carried away captives to Babylon. And we find this Nebuzaradan, the prince, the captain of the guard, that he entered into the city, and he burnt the temple with fire. And many of these Jewish people had fled to the temple. They thought that that was a place of holiness, and that there they would be kept from being killed. But this Nebuzaradan, he had no mercy, no pity. He had no reverence for the temple either. He entered into this place, and many of them that had fled there were slain by the sword. They lost their lives even in this sanctuary. And then he put fire to it. He burned it to the ground. That beautiful house where they and their fathers had worshipped God. And not only did he burn the temple to the ground, but he burned all the beautiful houses and all the treasures that were in them. He took and he carried away to Babylon. He took all the gold and silver that was in the temple likewise. And all these houses that were so beautiful and had such beautiful furniture in it, for they were rich people, and they likewise were set on fire. And then he broke down the walls of Jerusalem. And this city then became a ruin, became a hissing, became a desolation. Why? Because of the sins of these people. How awful did God visit these people. These people then were carried away, some of the poorest. This Nebuzaradan, he left in the city, and he gave them vineyards and places so that they could live and plow the ground and grow things again. But the majority of the people, they were led to Babylon. And now we find that Nebuchadnezzar, he placed over these people that were left a man by the name of Gedaliah. This man became the governor and the ruler of these Jewish people. And now when most of the Jewish people that had been scattered and had fled to various countries like Moab and Ammon, when they heard that this man was the governor, they all came back to Judah, and they were under his reign and under his government. And now Nebuchadnezzar, when he entered into this city, we see the hand of God so clearly being shown towards Jeremiah. For Nebuchadnezzar gave commission to the god Nebuzaradan, take care of Jeremiah. See to it that he isn't hurt. And when he was taken out of the court of the prison, for he was in chains, and then they took him with the rest of the people, and then this Nebuzaradan spake unto him, and said unto him that he would be freed, and that if he cared, he could go back with him to Babylon, and he would be well taken care of. But if he didn't want to go back to Babylon, then he could stay here, or he could do as he wanted to do. The whole land was before him. He could go and live where he pleased. He gave him then what was necessary and also gave him a reward. See in this, my hearers, the goodness and the kindness of God, how he fulfilled his word which he had spoken unto Jeremiah, that he would keep him, that he would watch over him and would be with him. This prophet then, he remained with this governor. And now we read that someone came to this governor and told him that a certain man had been commissioned by the king to kill him. But he didn't believe him. He thought he was telling a lie. But it was true. For this man, Gedaliah, after being governor for 7 months, was slain, was murdered. And then a lot of these proud men led by Johanan, they likewise gathered the people together and they carried them into the land of Egypt because they were afraid to stay in Judah. They were afraid of the Chaldeans. And they took Jeremiah with them into the land of Egypt. And as I said, there he was stoned to death. So this, my hearers, concludes the lesson about Jeremiah. The Lord willing, we will continue with the next lesson next week. That's all for today.